The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time is 7:34. Oops, new pen.
Thank you.
In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on May 17th, 2019, faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, which are the Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times. Also posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, and the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Would you do a roll call, please? Ms. Brennan?
Present.
Mrs. Brooks?
Here.
Ms. Emery? Absent. Ms. Figueroa? Absent. Dr. Grantham?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Dr. Rihamaki is absent. And Ms. Grant is here. Ms. Grantham, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Malloy, will you serve as the process guardian for this evening's meeting, please?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. I'd like to move action item 19PN238. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves Joanne Hinkle as acting board secretary for the Clinton Township School District in the absence of a business administrator. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Brooks. Any questions? Seeing none, I'll do a roll call, please. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Grant? Yes. Motion passes. You are now in charge. Thank you. As many of you know, the Clinton Township Board of Education is a nine-member board, and currently the board has a vacant seat. Dr. Foy, fortunately for him, unfortunately for us, has taken a job out of state and will be leaving the area, and so therefore he has resigned. We sent an email out to everyone, posted on the website around May 13th or 14th, that we would be interviewing interested candidates tonight to apply for Dr. Foy's seat. Interested candidates provided a cover letter as well as a resume by Friday, I believe, at 4 o'clock into the board office or to an email for boardinterest@ctsdnj.org. Again, this past Friday by 4 o'clock. So we were thrilled to see that five individuals have applied for the open board seat. And I would like to welcome each and every one of you this evening to this special meeting. The way this will work tonight is we have eight questions to ask each of you. We'll start in alphabetical order. So if the person, not just yet, but the first person will go to the microphone, second person will go to this microphone. We'll ask you the first question. You'll answer it to the best of your ability. Then the second person will answer the same question, and then the third person will go to the microphone, et cetera. The second question that gets asked, so that we don't put the same person on the spot every time with a question right away, then you will take the second question. You'll take the second question second, third, et cetera. And so we'll rotate through that way. Each board member will have an opportunity to ask a question. We have eight questions here in front of us. I ask the board not to stray from the questions that are provided in front of you so that it's a fair process for everybody. Everybody gets asked the same question. So with that said, do you folks have any questions before we begin? No? Seeing none? Okay. Before we get started, take a deep breath. Right? Take a drink of water.
We don't bite.
We don't bite. Right? And just answer everything to the best of your ability. You may be able to answer all the questions or some of it. Just want to encourage you sort of to just relax as we go through the process. We'll rotate through. So the board will rotate through. I'll ask the first question, and then we'll start down with Ms. Brennan. Oh, Mike, here you go. Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you.
This is for the meeting notes. Okay. Ms. Engelhardt. And then Mr. Hornick, would you like to just step up to the microphone here? So the first question this evening is, please tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in serving as a member of the Board of Education here in Clinton Township.
My name is Sandy Engelhardt. I've been a resident of Clinton Township since 2009. I have three children in the district, a current third grader, a current first grader, and my son will be in kindergarten next year. I am a stay-at-home mom. And I am very active within the school district through the PTA. I run various events like Science Night and pumpkin carving. I'm currently running bulk school supply, which is fun. And I also help out every chance I get. My children are active in a lot of sports throughout the community, and I volunteer to be the team parent or the swim official, or kind of, I like to put myself out there and offer my assistance anywhere that it's needed. I'd like to be a member of the school board because I feel like I will ingratiate myself more into the community, and I am a vested member in our school district, and I would like to continue to see our district do well and bring more people in, because I know enrollment is a issue right now. And I love our community. I just like to do everything I can to kind of help out and do our best for our kids.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Hornick?
Hi, my name is Scott Hornick. I'm a parent of a first grader here in Clinton Township. I've lived here for just coming up on 2 years. Moved here specifically for the schools when it was time to make a choice of where my daughter Emma would go to school. Currently, I'm a professor of music and the coordinator for the music department at Mercer County Community College, and I run the music technology program as well, which means I'm the only full-time professor in the music department. So I oversee 15 adjuncts, the hiring, the curriculum changes that we face. We just were mandated with a 60 credit maximum by the state of New Jersey, so we just spent 85 different majors on the curriculum committee that I'm a part of. We got into place in, I think, 9 weeks, so we're ready to go in the fall. In my role, I'm teaching history, I'm teaching theory, I teach ensembles. And where does that help me on the Board of Education is it's taught me how to be ready for anything. What I've learned working at a college, I've been there for 12 years, three running the program, is that there's life, and then there's learning how to improvise, right? And learning how to deal with what life actually puts at you, and not panicking, but going, okay, doing assessments. In my program, there was nobody in my position for 2 years. We built up a bad reputation because the school's falling apart. I walked in similar to here, where there's a low turnaround or a low student enrollment. We had 40 music majors 3 years ago, and now we're, I think, 112 this past semester. And I just called all our four-year transfer schools and said, hey, what are we doing right? More importantly, what are we doing wrong? Changed the curriculum, changed textbooks, sat down with all our instructors. It's my job, which is often awkward, as a lot of my adjuncts are 15 to 20 years older than I am, and have been teaching a lot longer, but said, hey, this is what the feedback we're getting, the assessments we're doing, we need to make changes, and now we meet with the high schools and go and do that. So I'm here because I'd love to be a part of this. I tell my daughter all the time the most important thing in life is to do the right thing, even if it's not easy, but to go and do the right thing. And if you can help and be a part of it, then you go and do it. So that's why I'm here. And thank you guys for what you do, and thanks for having us here tonight.
Thank you.
Can you turn up the mic just a little bit?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, I just wanted to make sure.
No worries.
I think both.
Both of them, I think.
It up a little.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It's a little quiet.
Hello?
Oh, there you go.
Okay. my name is Jennifer Kaltenbach. I have been a resident of Clinton Township for almost 3 years. We moved here from Bergen County for the schools, for the area. When I first moved out here, everybody was like, oh, you're out in the middle of nowhere now. And I'm like, yes, but I love it. And all I do is talk about how much I love it out here. Driving home today, I went on the field trip with the first grade. And on 78, I was like, God, I love where we live. And a big part of why I love it is I think we have a great school district. I think it could be better. I think that's always the case. I am a teacher. So I have a first grader. I just have one child. I'm a teacher of 22 years. I teach high school science. In my building, I'm one of the senior biology people, so I tend to take on the mentorship of the new people. I often order, do the budgeting and the curriculum for all the bio teachers in my district. We have 17 people in the high school department, so we have a pretty big school. I want to be on the board because I think it's important to have a lot of different voices on the board and a lot of different backgrounds. And I think being a teacher in a public school, I think that's an important voice to be had. I think I can bring some ideas and some input and some insight into how to make this school as good as it can be. I think we're fabulous, but I think we could be better. That's what I tell myself every year. I once had a long conversation with someone who was lamenting public school teachers, how we have it easy and we just do the same thing every year and we open up a notebook and pull out our materials. And I'm like, well, not really. most teachers I know, myself included, every year I look and I say, what did I do wrong? What can I do better? How can I make next year different? And I think that's the attitude that we have to bring to this district too. We're already good, but how can we keep making it better? And I think our kids deserve that.
Hello, my name's Alyssa Olosky. I have been a resident of Clinton Township for over 15 years. I have two kids in the district, one in sixth grade and one in third grade. I am currently an associate director of medical writing at AbbVie, which is a biopharmaceutical company, and I get to work from home, which is great. As long as I can remember, I have been volunteering with organizations that have a really positive impact on the community. As a teenager and in my early 20s, I was part of the White House Rescue Squad as an EMT, and I have also been volunteering with the 110 Football Club as a parent manager as well as a community liaison to improve their programs with the Clinton Township children as well as children in surrounding areas. And then from 2016 to 2018, I was a member of the Clinton Township Board of Ed. And that was one of the greatest experiences and definitely one of the most challenging, but I learned a ton from my 3 years on the board and would love to bring my experience back. I think that especially with the open board seat being such a short-term position, it would really make a lot of sense to have someone fill the position who can hit the ground running.
What do you see is the primary responsibility of a Board of Education and an individual member of that same board?
I think the primary responsibility is to the community, right, and to the children, to the students themselves, because that's what we're all in this room for and why we come here every day. And, you know, why we wake up every day is to make sure we give the children in the town the best experience and the best chances they can moving forward. I think the individual board members, I think in any of these kind of positions, it's to listen. You know, I think first and foremost, I think in any kind of position like this is to listen. And it's to listen to things that you don't always want to hear. Residents, parents, you know, everybody in town, even non-parents, because it's their tax money as well. They're going to have insight and being willing to listen and then making decisions that not coming to a board meeting knowing I'm going to vote for this already, sitting and listening to the people on the board already and taking in their experience and their advice and go, okay, and formulate that with all of your life experiences and make the right choice, even if it's not the simple, easy choice, but what's the long-term goal? Not what's going to fix today, but what's going to be good for the future. We're not teaching kids for now. We have to be thinking about the future because things are changing at a rapid pace. So I think it's always listening, always coming with a clear, open mind, and using rational thought and logic to figure out what's the best thing to move forward with.
I think as a board member, one of the most important things is the kids. They are who we serve. They are the clientele. And then after them comes the community. We are supposed to be the voice of the community in terms of making decisions for the school, but really it's for the betterment of everyone. I think that I think what Scott said was really important about you can't come in with this is what I'm going to do, because every day it's going to change. You don't know what's going to happen. Our district's going to be consolidated. We don't know, maybe. Like, there's so many things that are up in the air, from little decisions to big ones. And so I think it's important to not have an agenda, to not come in with a preconceived notion of what is going to happen or what I'm going to do, but to be able to say, this is my background, this is my opinion, let me listen to other opinions, let me gather more information, and then decide from there what would best serve those two people that are those two groups that we are beholden to, the students and the community.
So as an individual board member, as some of the other candidates have already said, it's very important not to come in with preconceived notions and a personal agenda. It is really critical to actively and objectively participate in the board, to remain ethical and obey all of the school laws, and do what's best for all students, you know, not just some, and really stay out of the day-to-day happenings of the school district. The board is seated to support the superintendent and, in this case, what Dr. Cohn feels is the best for the district, you know, as well as the board also helps to develop the budget, and they set the vision and the mission for the district with other stakeholders. They approve policies to support the carrying out of the vision and the mission. So they have a really critical role, but it's a delicate balance. You know, I was in it for 3 years, and it's very hard sometimes not to want to get more involved, but you really have to be able to take that step back and remain objective and abide by the school ethics.
I believe that the Board of Ed is entrusted to manage the educational needs of the students while also working within the financial needs of the district and being fiscally responsible in how we manage both. I know that's a difficult task, especially with losing state aid and rising costs of living. And I believe that as an individual on the board, as previously stated, it's very important to come in with no preconceived agenda and to come in feeling like you really want to listen to the community, because that's who put most of us here. You know, that's who you got the way to get on the board is to get voted in or appointed, but I believe that it is our job to make sure that we do the best we can for our students while also staying fiscally responsible for our town.
Thank you.
Oh, it's my turn. Sorry. Given the district's current struggles with significant declining enrollment, what aspect in your background or experience would you be able to offer to help manage this situation?
Allison, can you read that again, please?
Oh, sorry.
Just, they didn't hear it and...
Okay, obvious. Yeah, got it.
Okay.
Given the district's current struggles with significant declining enrollment, what aspect in your background or experience would you be able to offer to help manage the situation?
I think the declining enrollment itself, the only way to fix that is to get people to move into town. I mean, that's our big struggle. We could look into bringing the students that we lost back. But the main thing is we have to make this a place where people want to live. And I think a big part of that is we want this school district to be known far and wide for a place where you want your kids in. And I think that by working with all the stakeholders, the teachers, the administration, we can figure out a way to rise above our current challenges and get the word out that we are where you want your kids. I don't know myself if I could have a role in that, but I think as a board, and hopefully as a member of that board, I can be a part of that. And that, I think, is the best thing that we can do to fix that declining enrollment, is to make this known where people want to go. I don't know if we paid off someone, but apparently we made a list, one of the top places in New Jersey to raise a family. So if we paid someone off, we need to get back on, we need to get on that list again, because that worked. I got a couple phone calls on that.
So this is one of those tough topics where I know that, you know, many community members would like to get involved. And I know that from my previous experience on the board, it's definitely something that the board cannot get involved in. However, I think that the township is working to think of ways to bring or increase the population, bring kids back to the school district. But we're not the only ones who are experiencing declining enrollment. It's not just our county, it's all over the state. And you know, we have to think innovatively and bring in, you know, new ideas like shared service agreements with other districts and potential consolidation. I was just looking at my notes, but you know, one of the other things that I know we still haven't done that should be a top priority is finding an alternative revenue source for Spruce Run. It's sitting empty.
I believe that as the board, it's hard for us to be responsible to increase enrollment. Like Alyssa said, it is down throughout the state. A lot of towns are seeing low enrollments, and having been here for the meetings about closing one of the schools, the pendulum seems to swing back and forth because we just built the middle school. What was that, in early 2000s? And
about 9 years ago.
Yeah, and then we had to go and close a school, and I feel like you know, it ebbs and flows, and a lot of people, young people, are staying closer to the cities, but that's where they feel comfortable. I believe that our town does provide a lot of things that make people interested in moving here, but I think it's more of a financial issue with taxes. I know a lot of people who have recently tried to move into our town, and the main issue for them was the taxes were too high, which is not a specific Board of Ed issue. They loved our schools. They loved everything about it. Our schools were rated very high. I spoke very highly about our school district, but I do believe that it's something that will swing back our way eventually. So.
Thank you.
As was said before, I don't think it's something that one individual person can do. The board, it's a group effort. Everything's a group effort when it comes to education in any situation. The college I'm at, fortunately, somehow we are the only community college in New Jersey that's not losing students. I can't take, I can't say I did anything. I'm proud of it. I'm really happy. And part of that is because of the taxes, because of prices, people are starting to realize that community college is a better option. Same education, a lot lower credit price. But one of the things that we do there in the liberal arts department is constant assessment. Like I said, that is the thing. It's just constant assessment. We call every high school, we call every college around and say, what can we do? What are we doing? How can we, how can we showcase? I'm in summer session now where I'm not working, like the public teachers and all of the things we hear about. But I'm at every high school right now because I'm not teaching, so I'm able to go and I'm recruiting and meeting with students and getting in touch with them. And setting up events. So what we do is we go out and I bring my bands to play at the schools and different faculty to meet with them. The schools here are great. They're really well known. The taxes are high, but I've honestly lived in higher tax areas than New Jersey. I heard the reputation of Clinton Township schools. I was living in Tewksbury before this, and a couple people told me I was crazy that I wanted to bring my daughter to Clinton Township as opposed to Tewksbury because they have all these resources. For me, what's important is a well-rounded liberal arts kind of creative education, and that's why I ended up here. I think showcasing that, highlighting that, I think this township does a great job of having family events and all these lovely movie nights and ice cream socials at the school, and I think the more we can showcase that and get out and explain to people and they can see what our students are doing and what they're capable of doing, I think that helps. I think the numbers go down. There is an ebb and flow of people moving in, moving out. I know there was the bad publicity, though I support, and I think it was the smart move, and closing Spruce Run. In the long run, there is a possible revenue place there. The teachers and the contracts issues we've had, those things, they're the things that people hear about as opposed to all the good things that are going on here. And I think if we can somehow find a way to get that good information out, it brings more people back, less people leave, because it's hard. When you're watching your taxes go up and people are leaving, then the taxes are going to go up more to pay to have kids go to school. Most people I know, will always gladly pay more taxes for education. I know there's a 2% cap, but they won't pay. They don't want to pay for other services. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't want to pay the 2% cap as well, but the people I'm fortunate enough to surround myself, I'll pay whatever it takes for education and get that word out there.
Boo.
Did I completely confuse you? Okay. What has been the most significant unfunded mandate the district has encountered? How did it impact the district? And how would you have supported the management of this mandate?
So, to pick one is hard. I feel like the state always has oodles of unfunded mandates. I think it's like their favorite activity to hand them out. So one comes to mind, it would be Common Core Park. That represented I think it was almost $400,000 cost to the district. We had to get a director of curriculum and we had to buy all of the Go Math materials, the science kits, the next generation science standards materials, the cost of PD for the staff, you know, in workshops, and I think that I would say that, that Common Core Park is definitely one of the biggest, and now to me the one of the most annoying, because while we still have standardized testing, park seems to be going away, so.
To be perfectly honest, I am not really properly prepared to answer this question.
And that's okay.
To play off of what Alyssa said, though, I do know that park was a very difficult thing. Standardized testing in general seems to be an issue, but I also do know that we did lose $300,000 in state funding recently, which is also going to create more of a problem for us to try to meet these standards. But I'm sorry, I really don't have a good answer for that. So.
It's all right.
Thank you.
I can't pretend to know all of the unfunded mandates. I definitely can understand them because we deal with them at my job as well, on a pretty regular basis, because we're teaching some of the wealthiest areas of Mercer County and some of the poorest areas of Mercer County, and I spend most of my semester trying to find ways to buy books for those students. So with standardized testing and things like that, I hear about that. I come from a family of school teachers. They're all retired now, but it's been going on like that forever. A good friend of mine and myself both did the new Pathways program years ago for teaching licensure, and he's working down in Trenton, and I hear about it there as well, the same exact issue of park testing. I think getting the public involved, obviously there's only so much that can be known, but I think when you have the public involved, knowing that, hey, this is what the state is requiring us to do, and this is how much money they're giving us. A Board of Education is a great tool, but when you have a lot of people calling from the public, if they all get riled up and make calls to Trenton, that's when things can change. My college personally has been huge on the Chapter 78 repeal for our instructors, and it wasn't us who did it, it was when we got the students to call. Having parents involved, having them call Trenton. Today's a voting day, right? Getting people out and voting. I think that's the best way to handle the unfunded mandates and manage it, is letting people know what's going on and finding a way to make it work as good as possible.
I think, unfortunately, with those unfunded mandates, we can't always know that they're coming. Sometimes they, you know, surprise us. The state drops stuff on it. I believe that happened last year. They pulled money. Yeah. Park is definitely, I mean, I'm a teacher. You can ask me about Park. Common Core, you know, those, I know in my district we had to buy so many computers and spent so much money, and they pulled money from every budget to cover the cost of that. You know, and there are some mandates that we don't necessarily agree with or like the implementation of. There's other ones like requirements for special ed, how many aides in a room. Those are mandates too. And we get some money to cover that, but not all. But those are important. So I think, like Mr. Hornick said, the important thing is just let the public know. I think transparency with the public as to why we need a certain amount of money, or why this is happening, or why this has changed, what was our decision, what's beyond our control, I think that is important at getting the community to understand why the board makes the decisions that it makes. I think that will go a long way to bringing unity and cohesiveness to the district, to the community, to have everybody on the same page, is to have that transparency. And I think that's important, especially when stuff comes out of the blue from the state and we have to figure out how to roll with it.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Okay. How would you describe the board's role in professional development for district staff?
I believe that the board is responsible for making sure that they are funded and attended, and I believe that we also reimburse for certain things that teachers go to.
Thank you.
I think the board working the strategic initiative meetings that happened earlier this year and working with the superintendent, coming up with creative ways and looking outside of our district as well and see what other districts are doing and what's successful and finding ways to come up with creative new ways that will excite staff to want to partake in it, demonstrate that how this is going to help, show results of other places, being, you know, constantly on the lookout for new ways to teach, attending workshops. We have a week, the way things work where I am is we spend a week in conferences presented from other community colleges. And I feel the same kind of situation here where you bring in speakers from other programs to demonstrate and say, hey, what you're doing is great. We're not saying it's not, but here's new ways. Here's new tried ways. I've sat in many workshops. I've enjoyed all of them. I can say some I completely disagreed with, but I went in with an open mind. Some they did change my mind by the end of it. But coming up with new ways, bringing new exciting ways for the teachers to be there, showing them that, hey, we care about you because you're here for the same reason we are, for these students. So let's find ways to best educate the students.
In my district, I'm actually one of the people who delivers a lot of the professional development. I run what we call staff colleges on both a district level and a building level. One of the things that makes our staff college program successful is that it's teacher driven. We come up with the ideas as a teacher. I say, I want to teach this class. I put it out there. Teachers sign up. It can be a small group, it can be a big group, but I think the fact that it comes from the staff, I think that's important. So as a board, I think our duty is to listen to the staff, and then the staff through the administration and through Dr. Cohn, this is what we want. And then our job is to help fund that, help make that happen, whether it's district-wide initiative or whether it's something smaller. But I don't think our job is to dictate PD. I think our job is to listen to what they want, because what's going on in the classroom, the teachers know what they need. A couple years ago, I decided I was tired of lecturing. I teach AP Bio, I teach a college level class. And I started hearing about this new thing that people were doing, and I'm like, let me give it a try. And people thought I was crazy. I was the first person in my district to do a flipped classroom. And now I run workshops and I teach other people how to do it. And that was from me, and I was supported by my administration, and it was successful. It wasn't top down. My district has tried top down. And nothing that they have said, try this, has worked. From that point. Later on, teachers said, oh, let me give that a try, and of their own volition took it. But I don't think PD works when it's dictated. I think it has to come from a need, and then it has to be supported. In my own experience, that's how I felt that it has worked the best.
For this one, the answer is pretty simple. The board's role with the staff's professional development is simply to support the superintendent's plans and the administrator's plans for professional development through approving the courses and the workshops at the monthly meetings.
What methodology does the board use, or the district use, to develop its annual budget?
I won't pretend to know a specific methodology. I think you have to look at the overall picture of what's coming in. Expect that the state is not going to give everything that they say they will give you. Look, I think right away is look for savings. Where is it really necessary? In the budgets that I work with for my department, it's a matter of, you know, it's triage more times than not. I get X amount of dollars every year, and I have to figure out what are my most important goals so I can create a five-year plan, and if I'm going to get this much money every year, I can start putting money aside for certain projects. So I think for a budget here, it's looking at obviously the most important. You've got to keep the buildings running, maintenance costs, right? Staff and faculty, nurses, bus routes. It's sitting there. I don't think you can take any of them as being more important or less important than the others, but the buildings, I'd say building and maintenance has to top it, because without that we have nowhere to have class. But sitting down and looking, is there things we can do to save? You know, there's the unfunded mandates, there's other mandates, there's things that are important. The special ed is probably the most important thing I can think of. My only experience in this world outside of music and teaching music is working in special, in the disabilities office at New York University and as a coordinator for special needs students at Berklee College of Music. So I mean, those things to me are probably the first place my money's, I'm looking at, because I don't think there's a way you can do that correctly and ethically and cut corners. But looking ahead, looking what's coming down the pike, and I think I always shoot low. If I think, small numbers here obviously, $10,000 I'm going to get, I'm going to actually budget maybe off $7,000 and have that cushion. How can I make that work? Where can I make cuts? Where can I make, you know, do I really need to have this? What's the cost-benefit analysis of every little thing? And I believe the teaching aspect of the school is the most important, because that's where the reputation comes back, and that's where maybe people start moving back to the district and say, yeah, that's worth paying those extra taxes, because, like, I'm born and raised in Trenton. As Jen was saying earlier on the bus ride and coming here, it's like, it's amazing living here. This is a whole other world. I grew up on 2nd Street across from the prison. I come home every day, and it's just like, I'm just like floored that I live in such an amazing place. And I didn't realize New Jersey was this great. So I think building, looking at how do we get, you know, the best education for our dollars and cut where we need to.
I also can't speak to specific board budgets and how it's created. I would assume that it started on the skeleton of what was done before with modifications from there. You never start anything from scratch. That seems to me like it would be a waste of resources. So to look at what we've done in the years past and then look at where have the numbers shifted, where have we gained money, where have we lost money, what has changed, I think that I would assume that that's how we go about starting the budget process. And then I think whether you're looking at the federal budget or city budget or whatever, I think when we start talking about numbers that big, you can go in and you can start cutting corners, little tiny things here and there, and eventually that stuff does add up. Cutting corners is the wrong word. Trimming, right? Looking for excess. And I think that can always be found. There's always places where, oh, hey, did you know we're spending $500 on a stapler, right? Isn't that something that they just figured out was happening? not here. and so I think looking at it, you can always find those pieces. I think after a while, we have...
It's gold plated.
I think, you know, after a couple of years, that has all been looked at, and then you have to start looking at big picture. How do we get more revenue, or how do we make a significant change? We do have taxpayers to answer to, and like Scott said, I think most of them value our education system, and while they don't mind what they pay, or they understand that it's important to pay it for education, they don't want to see a huge raise. But I also think they would understand if the transparency was there to show them this is why we need it. I really think a majority of the community would accept that. And so I think it just comes down to running the numbers and looking carefully and then talking to the community.
Okay.
feel like I'm cheating with this one. So I know that the district has a zero-based budget, which means they build it from the ground up every year. I know that we do look at the previous year's line items for comparison, but it is started, as someone else referred to it, from scratch every year. And you have to take into account the increases to salary and benefits. You know, now we used to say state aid, now you just say decrease in state aid. You know, what are the some of the unfunded mandates that might come in? You have to look at all of those factors as you're building each line item with the superintendent, facilities and finance committee, and the administrators.
I believe that, as Alyssa said, it is started from scratch, and I feel that as we look at everything and we can see exactly what's mandated by the state and what we need to do and how we can accomplish these things with the lack of resources that we tend to have, and like I said, the lost funding from the state, and to really kind of listen, as was stated before also, that really going through item by item, line by line, and seeing where we can trim the fat, and like we said, you know, that really does add up over time. And we are very fortunate in our district to have an amazing group of teachers that even with less and less funding, the children really don't feel that the school is losing out on anything. The teachers really make up for anything that they are missing in the classroom, and they really find a way to give the students everything that they really need. And we are very fortunate with the staff that we have. I work very closely with a lot of the teachers as class mom in the offices all the time, and again also as a member of the PTA, and really just seeing that the school runs very well. So you guys do a very excellent job balancing the budget, and I do believe that, yes, obviously with losing funding, we really just need to go through item by item and trim the fat where we can, and really see what you have to make the tough decisions, but you have to see in the end what will be the best for our students. So, thank you.
Please describe your previous community or nonprofit experience. Have you ever served on any type of board or board of education before?
No, I have never been on a board of education, or I don't think I've ever been on the board of anything. I had to think about that for a second. I am currently an active participant in the local Cub Scout troop. I'm a den mother. And so I'm really active in that. Having just moved into the community, we're trying to find out kind of where we fit, where we can best serve the community. Where we lived before, people always tell me that I moved out here into the middle of nowhere, and I say, oh no, I used to live in the middle of nowhere. I lived on a mountain in a state park. My driveway was a mile long, and it took me 15 minutes to get down into town. So, and that was Bergen County. Most people don't believe that that actually exists up there, but it did. And so I think being up there, we were there for 7 years. It was hard to get involved because we were so removed. And so while I wish I had more things to list here, I think when I was in college, I was really active. One of the reasons why we moved was to be in a community where we could find our roles and find our niche and find a place where we can volunteer. Yes?
Question.
Why did I move?
No. I'm curious, since it was in a state park, did the state at least plow your mile-long driveway for you?
Only after we harassed them.
Fair. It's diplomatic enough, yes.
So sorry, I'm going to sound like a broken record because I had no idea that you guys were going to ask this, and I said it in my opening statement, but so I served on the White House Rescue Squad for 10 years. I was a Clinton Township board member from 2016 to 2018, and I am currently a parent manager with the 100 Football Club as well as a community liaison. They are trying to recruit me for their board, but I am holding them at bay.
Okay, finally a question that I can really. I am a very active member of the PTA. I am the class mom. Last year I was class mom for all three children. That was a little insane. My son currently goes to Immaculate Conception because we held him back a year. He's in a transitional kindergarten, and every Tuesday I volunteer there to basically do the busy work for the teachers. I cut shapes and all these different things out so they can do the art projects for the children easily, and basically anything they ask us to do. I am a team parent on softball. I am a swim official. Like I mentioned before, my daughter swims for the YMCA, and that summer season will be starting soon, so
yay.
And I am a member of the DCC at Patrick McGarren. I am the first grade parent representative, and I will be the second grade parent representative next year. I am also on the school climate committee. I was asked by Mr. Ruttenberg to be the sole parent representative, which I took as a great honor because I really believe in school safety and, you know, making a happy environment for our children. I have run Science Night. I've run the pumpkin carving event. Like I said, I'm doing the bulk school supply. My previous work experience, which was in my resume, I worked at what was Somerset Medical Center, is now Robert Wood Johnson, doing nurse's aide stuff, but I would always volunteer to stay and do the one-to-one care. When I worked in the nursing home, I would always come in on my days off to run bingo games. So I just like to kind of help where I'm needed and really kind of put myself out there and be the person people can rely on to be there. I'm a quick learner and I can really be an asset. So I do my best to make myself available. So thank you.
I have never served on any Board of Education. But as far as boards, I am on the Creek to Canal Initiative Arts Group and a number of other arts groups down in Trenton, New Jersey. Through the college is how I started. I created a jazz program that meets at the Trenton campus of our college in a big arts initiative to bring art and music back to Trenton, New Jersey. Unfortunately, our camp ran a week after the shooting at Art All Night. So I met with all the art boards and we did an art week, took what we had planned as a jazz concert in the parking lot outdoors and turned it into an art gala as well, so the artists who weren't able to present the whole weekend at Art All Night could bring their work back. So most of my volunteer work has been through art groups and usually in underserved cities. As I said, I grew up in a city. I have an affinity for making sure everybody has an equal chance to get the same education, the same experiences artistically, musically. My only other volunteer work that I can say is in the Poconos. I spent 3 years volunteering for a hospice house.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm up. This is so fascinating. What do you know in regards to the time commitment required? You're just cheating all the way through, the whole way to that. All right, what do you know in regards to the time commitment required of a member of the Board of Education?
Well, I don't want to scare the other candidates. I was punished. So the answer, honestly, is it depends. It depends if you are going to have to hire a superintendent or three. It depends if you are going to be on, you know, just one committee or more than that. There's definitely one, maybe more committee meetings. But again, that varies based on
you know, the time of the year, what's going on within that committee, and then there's the monthly board meetings. If I had to give like a rough calculation in my head, I would say it could be anywhere from 10 to 20 hours a month.
So through all of my research, which I have done quite a bit, I believe that the actual estimation is somewhere anywhere between 10 to 50 hours a month. I know that there's three committees in the Board of Ed, and again, like Alyssa said, depending on what time of year it is, certain committees meet more often. Board meetings can run anywhere from like an hour to 6 hours, depending on what's going on. And they meet once a month, and then, like so within the committees, and depending on how many committees. It's basically like a part-time job. Unpaid part-time job, so, but yes, it's a lot of hours and time.
From the research I was able to find, it seemed like they recommended anywhere from 11 to 50 hours a month, which seemed pretty broad. I serve on a number of committees at my school now, and I was told, oh, they're an hour a week. That's never happened. The meeting might be an hour, it's usually 90 minutes, but the prep for it's usually 2 to 3 hours. I would imagine, as was previously stated, when there's certain times of the year, they're gonna be extra long, the subcommittee meetings and things like that. I came into this thinking it was probably going to be closer to 5 to 10 hours a week of my life, and sometimes having to put more in. It's whatever it takes to get it done is what it comes down to.
I think whenever you look for an estimate, whether by looking at the different dates of the board meetings to see how often you guys have met and stuff like that, it always has to take into account the pre-work and the post-work. And so when you read 10 to 50, you know, double that as a potential when you look at everything. You know, you've got your monthly meetings, your committee meetings, which you don't know how long they're going to be. But I think it's important to come prepared, to know what, you know, what I need to know beforehand and whatever research has to be done after. I'm a teacher. I'm used to doing work at home, so... It just goes with the job. So whatever it takes to get it done is what it would take.
That was on this one.
I can make one.
Thank
up.
You.
Do you guys have any questions for us? I think it's finding a balance between all of the decisions that we have to make, because no matter what decision you make, it impacts something else, which impacts something else, which impacts something else. So you can't make a decision based on one topic, one challenge, one issue, because it all, you know, ripples into everything. And so decisions are not, from my perspective, easy to make, because there's so many things to take into account. And so where a decision may be simple, oh well, that makes sense, you go, yes, but if we do that here, it negatively impacts this, or impacts this person or this group or this or that. And so from my perspective, you guys can chime in, I just think the decisions are not easy, and they're not in silos, because if you do that, then the facilities don't get taken care of, or curriculum isn't up to date, or, you know, it just, so that's my perspective.
Yeah, I would agree. I think if you're doing this job properly, invariably somewhere along the line, some constituency group is going to be upset. And the challenge with that is learning to understand that it's not personal, or it ought not be personal. You need something of a thick skin, I think, to sit in public office and extend yourselves and to volunteer your time, your energy, your intellectual capital for the betterment of a district that we all hope will continue to better the community even after our kids have passed through. And you have to learn to sit in silence and seriously sort of, You might want to shout the answer. You might want to say, but we're doing that, but we're working on that. But board ethics and bylaws and confidentiality really have to be strictly adhered to. So there's going to be times when you sit at this podium where you got to just sort of smile and nod, and maybe if you feel like it, bite the inside of your cheek if it helps you. But there's a lot of inherent misunderstanding because we deal with so many sensitive issues, and we really have to be extremely careful about protecting that information and protect the people who are affected by the release of that information. That can be challenging. I've been doing this way too long. No, I've been doing this a really long time now, and I will tell you, it becomes part of a process to which you adjust. But when I was a new board member, that was really challenging, and I think whoever takes this position will experience that.
I agree that I think my first year, it took that year to develop the thick skin, and thick enough. And I would still say, I avoid Facebook like the plague. I'm still really uncomfortable sometimes when we're sitting here, and I know how hard we've worked to figure out what to look at the alternatives and to come up with a choice that each of us individually, because, nobody tells me what decisions to make. I make them on my own, right? So I have to be able to live with my choice. And I find it very hard that many of the laws that govern what we can and cannot do are based on legislation written when this man was a baby, or maybe even before. but basically, really, based on prevailing beliefs in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and that we are still stuck there. In many of that those constraints are often like handcuffs, what you can say, what options are available to you, and that has a tendency to make us look like we don't care, when you guys all put in front of us 11 to 50 hours a week, maybe times two, right? None of us gets paid. All of us get hated. If you think that we do this because we don't care, probably want to think again. And there's not one person I've worked with on this board who doesn't care. But you get painted that way constantly.
I'm a new board member, so I can give you the perspective of learning all of the rules and regulations and processes that are quite something, and quite constraining, I would say, in an archaic in a lot of respects. So nothing different from what anyone else has said, but just becoming familiar with them and reading the bylaws as we go through them each time. There's a ton of process that I feel like has taken up the majority of my mental space for this first part of my service on the board. And I will say that I have the advantage that I got to start after an election and so go to actual board camp, which I would say is the most, like, getting that binder and like having that intensive training was really useful. And so coming in the middle will be quite a challenge to learn all of those things, but everyone on the board is very open to answering questions.
Sorry.
I ask her questions about curriculum things.
Yes. So, I'm a comic relief, what can I say?
So I think that just coming in with an expectation of you're going to be working within a construct that you have not that much agency over, and figuring out the structure of it and how to work within it and influence it where possible is, yeah.
If I can add to just what Allison said, the board, the role of the board is not to run the district. We provide oversight, and Dr. Cohn and her staff develop the day-to-day, and we ask questions. We ask a lot of questions, and a ton of questions. And that's really our role. So, as Allison said, and many members said, it's not, we're not permitted to do any of that extra stuff.
Did you ever see the scene from Aladdin? You know, there's phenomenal cosmic power, itty bitty living space. Kind of reverse that. Okay, we live out in public. We have very little power.
I just agree with everyone else, but really, it's the facial control that was the hardest.
Do not react.
What other questions can we answer for you?
I can start. Even though I'm still sort of at the very early stages, like what I really wanted to be as part of my service to the board was part of the community and feel like in whatever small way I was part of defining how our community worked and making it functional. And so I do feel like while I'm new, I'm gaining that understanding, and I do feel like, you know, it's nice to be a part of something that is so central and so valuable to our community, and feeling like, you know, I'm not gonna the structure of everything, like nothing's gonna get fixed overnight, but I can be part of working with a team of people who are interested in figuring out changes.
I have three kids in this district. I like knowing that I'm doing some small part to help. I really do, right? And then I see folks who move to the district and they have kids younger. It's nice. This is to me not a political appointment. This is not a position. The part of the, you know, I'll answer, the part I like best is everything except the electioneering. The part I like most is knowing that I'm doing something in the community in that in which I live, and I chose to come here. I mean, Jennifer, you said it yourself. We moved out here before we had kids because we knew about the schools. I had family out here, and it was a no-brainer decision, even though it meant 3 hours of commuting to Manhattan and back. So being able to sort of do my small part, because it's not just necessarily, and yes, with the three kids, I get direct impact, but it's also everything else. I mean, don't forget, we are the single largest driver of tax levies in the township by a lot. It's very important. And being able to strike that balance and do as much good for as much of our community as possible is an awesome feeling. It's an awesome responsibility. It can feel a bit overwhelming, but you know, if it's not a little too challenging, you probably shouldn't do it, right? You should sort of learn into the job sometimes, right?
My kids are grown and out of the school district. My daughter teaches high school physics. My son will be going to Drexel in the fall. My son has a diagnosis of Asperger's. And in high school, because of the preparation that he received here, he was an honor roll student, a varsity athlete. He participated in music and he ended up getting an Eagle Scout, becoming an Eagle Scout. A little bit of that was push at home, but the foundation was laid in these buildings by these teachers with the special education program here. And, you know, yeah, it's my taxes too, but I don't resent them because I know what those taxes are doing for kids like mine and the potential that they are building. And I think, you know, that's probably the most rewarding part, is that we are supporting something that does so much good for so many kids.
I enjoy it, but always enjoyed trying to pick and choose and do things that would have a positive effect on the community and children. And since I was, well, I'm still small, but younger, much younger, it was just something that was ingrained in our family. My parents always did things that contributed to children. You know, they volunteered, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, all kinds of programs. And so this is sort of an extension of how I grew up, putting back into helping kids and helping the community. Probably one of the most exciting parts of doing this for me is every single day is different. Every day. Every day is a different challenge. Every day is a different problem. Every day is, we're trying to support Dr. Cohn and her staff in things that just come up every single solitary day. So it is not the same thing every single day, every single week, every single year. And so that sort of just keeps, you know, keeps it interesting.
Better than Sudoku.
I'm sorry?
Better than Sudoku.
That's right. So that's why I like it.
Compliance training to the same.
Right. What else can we answer for you? Well, thank you very much. What we're going to do now is we're going to enter into executive session, have a discussion, and then we'll come out and let you know what we've decided. If you need more water, there's more water up here. Please feel free. You guys were outstanding. You did a really wonderful job. Thank you again for coming out, sharing with us your thoughts and your passion for this. And please have the very special passage.
Sure. Whereas, while the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act and JSA 10:4-6 requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality, reviewing hearing information before the board pursuant to NJSA 18A:37-13.2 et sec, attorney-client privilege, personnel, and negotiations. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into an executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved, the Board of Education hereby declares that a discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such a time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Ms. Hinkle. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Ms. Malloy, second, please.
Second.
Second, Dr. Brantham. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now in executive session. I'm looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Dr. Brantham. Second, please.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Malloy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is now reconvened. I don't think I've ever sat in an executive session to discuss candidates that long ever, and I've been doing this a really, really, really long time. And as I said, when I came out to beg your patience, this is kind of a good problem to have, right? Because normally we don't get, I mean, the last time we had an open board seat, we had a significant number of people, which was great. But prior to that, it was not good. So this was good as far as we're concerned, not for you because you had to wait. So my apologies on behalf of the board for forcing you to wait way too long. We have, as a board, come to a decision, but before we go through the resolution, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for coming out. Please, by no means, let this, if you did not get selected this evening, that don't let this be the last time we see you at board meetings. Please don't let this be the last time we see you come for, you know, interviewing processes or run in the fall. I know Ms. Brennan twice came to do exactly what you did and did not get on and finally got on. I went through the same process and was rejected and finally came on. You won. So
Kevin doesn't count.
He was one for one. But
I got rejected and then I got elected.
Right, she got rejected and elected. And by no, by no means does it mean anything, you know. So again, thank you so much, and please come back. Does anybody else want to say anything?
No, I think that's right.
Yeah. Thank you for your willingness to put yourselves out there, especially after what we've told you about how much fun it is.
Yes, it's perfect. It's a day.
Right. Mom, is this going to be a quick meeting? Yeah, it shouldn't be that bad. What time is it? And we're still not done. So once again, thank you so much. And if you guys have any questions in the future, as you read things on the agenda in the minutes, come to a board meeting. All of our emails are available. And if you want my contact information, I'd be very happy to give it to you so you can ask, because we'd like to continue the dialogue. Okay? So I'm looking, I'm going to move the following resolution from the board, and then I will ask for a second. The Clinton Town...
Do you want me to read?
If you would like to.
My check and scratch.
Sure.
Okay. Move that the Board of Education hereby appoints Alyssa Olowski to serve as a member of the Board of Education to fill the vacancy and unexpired term of Dr. Jeffrey Foy, who resigned effective April 10, 2019.
Thank you. Looking for a second, please?
I'll second.
Second, Dr. Malloy. I mean, Dr. Malloy.
Yeah, thank you. No, bachelor's only.
Looking, any questions? No? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery's absent. Ms. Figueroa is absent. Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Van Mackey is absent. Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion passes. Thank you. And again, please come back. Thank you. I'd like to move the meeting on to the report of the Superintendent of Schools. Dr. Cohn, may we have your report, please?
Yes. Enrollment count this evening is 1,219. The suspension report is we have one day in school suspension from Round Valley. For our updates, I'd like to make mention of our teaching assistant positions. At the May 13th board meeting, I outlined the process for the evaluation of the teaching assistant program. As I stated, the needs of our students determine the needs for teaching assistants, and the hire of staff for those roles would be student specific. I'm pleased to share that the posting and interviewing of very specific positions related to TA roles has begun. Individuals have applied for specific roles they are both qualified for and interested in filling. Thank you for your patience during this evaluation and alignment of the teaching assistant positions based on the needs of our students. I'd also like to make mention of, you'll notice on the board agenda this evening, a motion for approval of a specialized class for students with multiple disabilities located at Patrick McGarren School. Instructions to students with disabilities that include behavioral, emotional, medical, and mental health needs. Support to this program will be from proposed therapeutic program that will be on our June 17th agenda, so stay tuned for more information on this item. The benefits of this class are many. This allows students with special needs to remain in the district, as well as students that are out of district to return. This increases opportunities for families and students of Clinton Township School District to attend their home school with the supports that both the students and their families need, such as therapies, interventions, and parent support groups and educational programs. This program also focuses on the social and emotional needs of students, which aligns with the strategic plan as identified by the stakeholders, and allows also for cost savings and potential income opportunities for our district. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Cohn. Looking for motion, please, for action item 19-SU-023.
Motion.
Motion, Mrs. Brooks. Second, please.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Malloy. Any questions for Dr. Cohn this evening? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, Ms. Hinkle, please?
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Absent. Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. I'd like to open the floor up for public comments on agenda items only. I would like to make note that there isn't a public here at this moment of the meeting.
Except for Brian.
So seeing none, I'll close the floor on that public comment section. I'd like to open the floor for first recognition of the public. Once again, the same circumstance finds itself in this section of the meeting as well.
Anything grinding your gears tonight, Brian?
Okay, with that, I'll close the floor. I'd like to move on. There isn't a report this evening from the School Business Administrator Board Secretary Lucky.
Yeah.
But I would like to move on at this time to our facilities and finance. Are a couple of agenda items here. Mr. Molloy is chair. And Mr. Molloy, can we have the report of your committee, please?
Certainly. Two items to move tonight. One is the resolution awarding a contract for restroom upgrades. The approval to seek these bids was done during prior Facilities and Finance Committees and voted on by the full board. And the other item is the approval of the municipal tax payment schedule. I'd ask our attorney, do I need to read the resolution, Mr. Bausch, or can we simply just move them?
Does he need to read this resolution?
Do I need to read that?
No.
No, you do not.
Great. So,
just note the number.
Having said that, I move action items 19FF248 and 19FF249, and I seek a second.
Thank you. Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Ms. Brennan? Any questions for Mr. Molloy this evening? No, seeing none. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery? Oh, I'm sorry. Absent Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Molloy?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Move on to the committee report for personnel. We have two action items here this evening on tonight's agenda. We're looking for approval for a job description, specifically for the applied behavior analysis for teaching assistant with RBT certification / G10. We're also looking for to approve a candidate for human resources coordinator, one full-time FTE, to begin July 8th, 2019. So with that, I'm looking for motion, please, for action item 19PN 236 and action item 19PN 237.
Motion.
Motion, Mrs. Brooks. I'm looking for a second, please.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Molloy. Any questions? No, seeing none. May we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Molloy?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Thank you. Motion carries. Ms. Brooks, I understand there's nothing to report this evening on your policy curriculum.
That's
Your policy, I apologize. But curriculum, as you are chair for that as well, what do you have to report this evening, please?
This is the item that Dr. Cohn mentioned, that we're approving the establishment of a special class program for multiple disabilities at Patrick McGarren School to begin in September of the 2019-2020 school year. Particularly pleased that this program will allow us to bring back into district several students who are currently sent out of district to receive the support that they need. That being the case, I will be looking for a motion to approve action item 19CUR-053.
Motion.
Motion, Thank Dr. You. Grantham. Second, please.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Molloy. May we have a roll call? Well, hold on, sorry. Any questions for... No? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Molloy?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you very much. The feasibility of closing the school does not have a report this evening, so I'd like to move on to old business of the board. I have one item with the board's permission. I'd like to report out now. We have a negotiations committee for the Clinton Township Education Association, and I would like to add Dr. Grantham to that that particular committee filling the vacancy left by Dr. Foy. Does anyone else on the board have any old business they would like to bring up this evening?
One small item, and again, there's no public here, but for the record, just a congratulations to the chorus group at CTMS. The 6th, 7th, and 8th graders did an absolutely amazing job. I continue to be so impressed by what these kids do mm-hmm. in band and chorus in this district. It's mm-hmm. fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Any other old business?
A meeting several months ago, I think it was probably related to budget, we had a stack of paper several mm-hmm. inches high, and I raised the idea of perhaps we could look into the cost of that printing everything versus the cost of maybe reusing some old Chromebooks. And I just wanted to bring that back up to the top of the list because I know things have been very busy. Just see that, you know, whatever I can do to forward that, save some trees.
Thank you, sorry.
No.
She was taking notes here.
It was not meant as a criticism.
Yes, absolutely. We would like to look into that as well as some different programs to actually house our agenda on, which is really a great platform for the virtual.
Yeah.
So we're continuing to research that.
Okay,
thank you.
Let me know if I can help.
Thank you. Anything else? Moving on to new business of the board. Does anyone have any new business they'd like to discuss tonight?
I don't know if it's appropriate for new business, but I think in consideration of the hour, perhaps may I suggest that this board for tonight not have the second executive session?
Absolutely in agreement. I was going to suggest that.
Will that go into new business then?
Yeah. And do we need to vote on that?
No.
Wait. No.
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 Nope. Okay. I'd like to open the floor to second recognition of the public. Once again, Brian, do you have anything? No? Okay. Make note again that...
Once again, Brian has remained silent.
Okay, so with all of that said, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting. And I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Second, Ms. Brennan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Yes.
Brian?
Abstention? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.